Welcome to Conversations in Cannabis. Today's episode features the father and daughter team behind the world-famous Emerald Cup, Tim and Taylor Blake. This episode was recorded online, April 29th, 2022. I was going to say, but I do want to talk to you guys again about your pivot from, you know, Green Street Festival now going into the Ricardo Montalban Theater. Gil Smith, as I've mentioned before to you, is a sweetheart of a guy, a friend of mine for years and years and years. And the Ricardo Montalban is an absolute legacy theater, Hollywood and Vine. I mean, you can't get more LA than that. So can you kind of talk to me a little bit about how you got teamed up with Ricardo Montalban and kind of what that process of venue decision making was?
Yeah, well, we had worked with James, who is working with Gil to do some events there. So he's kind of producing events there. So we had been referred to James because he'd worked with us last year on the event. And as we had to pivot from the Green Street Festival, we were just looking for a place that would really fit with what we wanted to do. And, you know, you've been there, so I don't have to tell you. The Montalban Theater just fits exactly what we want to do in terms of a really classy award ceremony and then being able to immediately segue into an after hours party with the various places to go. So we couldn't have asked for a better place or a better person than Gil and James to help us. Kat's been down there putting this thing together. We're going to blow people away. We're going to truly put on the Academy Awards of the cannabis industry down in LA on the 14th.
Mm-hmm. And when you guys are looking at, you know, kind of what the space is, obviously the Ricardo Montalban has this beautiful rooftop deck where they throw movies in LA during the summertime. I mean, a historic stage play theater. What are some ideas that you can kind of sneak peek?
Well, one of the more exciting things about what we have, the opportunity to really have with the winners and the judges being there in such an intimate space, is to really celebrate the hard work of the both of them. Because, I mean, without the judges, we couldn't choose the winners. And without the contestants, we wouldn't have any competition. So it's really this beautiful opportunity for us just to have it be a huge celebration of both of them, as well as some close members of the community. And so we're going to have the display cases there. That's always been a huge draw at our Emerald Cup festivals in the past. So we're going to have the display cases there with all the entries lined up. That's going to be super interesting. We're going to have a lot of activations on the rooftop. Like you mentioned, it looks beautiful. I've still not been there yet. So I'm just
photos. You're going to get blown away.
Oh my God, it looks so stunning. And I'm just so excited about this opportunity. And we're going to have just a lot of little surprises throughout the night that are going to be really fun.
Nice. Now, one of the other places, you know, you had mentioned that you guys are going to have things on display. I imagine that's going to be in the mezzanine level because that's actually another beautiful part of this theater. Can you kind of talk about some of the entries? I know, obviously, you can't talk about the winners yet, but can you kind of talk about some of the entries and the participants that came onto the scene this year, or maybe some of the legacy players that have continued to try for the coveted Emerald Cup and kind of where the industry is this year?
Taylor can go into that more. We got more indoor entries than sungrown this year, which was a really surprising thing to really see come around the corner. The beverage enhancers jumped up to 17 from just a few. So you're watching those beverages come in. It's really interesting to watch the segue and what's going on. Pre-rolls just skyrocketed. You know, pre-rolls used to be, you know, just an afterthought with some trim and some, you know, B grade or C grade material. Now you're getting these cones and some infused pre-rolls that are just stunning. So the pre-rolls really, really stepped up. I mean, it's been amazing to watch it. We ended up with over 700 entries. So we ended up with substantially more than last year. It was really a great thing to see the community step up for us after having to do a digital show last year, which didn't get that much, you know, much juice going on. It was really good to see everybody step in for us. But what else you got, Taylor?
Well, I was just going to add it's always like the most exciting anticipation around the announcing of the winners, because we have such a history with certain brands that have entered and they've won before, and they kind of continue to compete, especially in the blind categories, to see like who wins flower is always so intriguing because the category is blind. Same thing with solventless. And then this year we also added hydrocarbon to be a blind team as well. So the hydrocarbon team, they just received their entries with just a terpene sticker that would indicate the class and then a number on it. So they didn't know the brands or the strain or anything like that. So it's really cool because they don't know the winners either. The flower judges, the solventless judges, or the hydrocarbon judges. So they're hearing them as we announce them as well. And so they're also like so excited to see like who the winners are. So we're just, yeah, can't wait till May 14th.
Well, and when you're looking at, you know, Tim, you had mentioned, you know, the rise of beverages collectively between you and Taylor, are you guys kind of surprised at almost the proliferation of kind of this microdose mentality in cannabis, especially on pre-rolls? I know during the 215 days, it was all about big boy pre-rolls. You're trying to get 1 to 4 to 5 to 7, finally quarter pre-rolls. It's just like, come on. But now they're going down to 0.5s and you're looking at microdosing in the, you know, 2.5 milligram range. Like, has that surprised you guys?
You know, for me, the microdosing across the board, cannabis and psychedelics, has surprised me because I didn't grow up with any of that. It was all about macrodosing and being, you know, being a man and just chugging it down. but you know what? Microdosing is a wonderful thing. Most of us, and I'm doing it, you know, substantially regularly now with psychedelics, but even with cannabis, I mean, those little 0.5s, I mean, how much do you need to smoke? You end up smoking more because you don't want to waste the joint. And really, you just need a couple of hits. It's actually a really nice way to go. You just fire it up, take a couple of hits. The little one hitters are coming out and you're just seeing it become, you know, integrated into society. And it's wonderful to see. I love it.
Yeah. And I was going to say just too, as like as a non-alcohol drinker, I think that the microdosing of beverages actually makes it so much more attainable and easy to access for the majority of consumers, because when you're out like at an event, you know, having a few like 2 milligram drinks, they kind of stack up on each other and it's like, you're still having a great time, you know, and there are people that have really high tolerances, so that wouldn't even affect them. But for the most people, you know, it just makes it so you can really like enjoy the benefits of it without the full commitment and use them, you know, sparingly in how you would like, you know, maybe the macro doses are for when you're at home and the micro doses are for when you want to be able to like have a full night ahead of you. But the variety, I think, is what is so exciting, because everybody has a really bad edible story in particular of like eating a brownie that they got too high and then they got like, you know, a thing that happened to them. And then that turns them away from that product. But I think that now with the science of just how beverages are easily to access with the lower dosages, I think it's really exciting.
Well, and are you guys, I mean, one of the things that has kind of blown me away, and I know I talked to you guys about it last time I talked to you, was kind of the rise of, you know, terpenes and, you know, kind of the lesser cannabinoids in the vernacular of general culture. Do you think that is helping proliferation of these, you know, microdose products, is saying, hey, you know, THC is cool in micro, you know, macro dosing, like you said, Tim, you know, going hard, doing a fat dab, like those are fun. But if you really want the olfactory experience, you really want to understand what types of effects that you can achieve with cannabis, it's not always about getting punched in the face. You know, sometimes it's about getting a flavor profile versus, you know, getting a slap.
Yeah, well, you know, they've been taught to go into the dispensaries and look for the highest THC and the best bang for the buck. That's what we've, you know, all been integrated into, but that's not really what people need, especially older people and the women coming in or younger people. You have these various people that, you know, they don't need to have a 30% OG. You know, they can be very happy with their terpinolene or an osamine, something a little lighter, a little more sativa, a little more up. And there's nothing wrong with that. So really, we got to take off those stigmas and just educate people and make them aware that there's a variety of cannabinoid profiles out there that they can seek out and that they don't need to have the highest THC all the time. So it's really an educational thing. And that really helps our smart farmers, because then they get more of a chance to bring their particular cultivars in. So it's an educational process for all of it. And we're really proud to be part of it.
Well, and I really think that a lot of craft cannabis farmers, you know, are especially ones that have been, you know, helped immensely by the Emerald Cup, people that I've met personally, like Emerald Spirit, you know, that I remember them originally putting out that THCV rich strain. You know what I mean? Like, when you see these types of craft cannabis farmers, kind of, I'm not saying get it pushed away via legalization, but at least via regulation, do you feel like we can see more from, say, the state of California in helping bring these types of craft cannabis farmers on board? And what would you say to regulators as a way to help these craft cannabis farmers get more involved in the California cannabis industry?
Well, you know, when we wanted to go to LA, it was, you know, of course, for our contestants and for our vendors and sponsors, but it's for our industry. Our industry needs to combine and hook up with everybody across the state, because the biggest, obviously, cannabis market's in LA, and we need to educate people. And so we're already finding that out by going on the cover of the LA Weekly with Woody Harrelson and Woody evangelizing for Sun Grown, and for us coming down here for having these conversations. That's what this whole thing is about, is educating people to open up to small farmers and their particular products. It's really simple. We just need to go from 1,000 dispensaries back up to the 10,000 we had before. We need to open up interstate. We need to open up as many of these farmers markets as we can. Last weekend, there was one in Laytonville, the Laytonville Farmers Market. We need cannabis farmers markets in every town in the state. And those aren't going to be run by the Emerald Cup. I'm not evangelizing for us. I'm saying that different communities need to run farmers markets in every community to give direct access to consumers for these small farmers. So there's a lot can be done. And I think that we're finally sounding the alarm and people are getting that. So I think with help from you and everybody else, we'll make a change over the next year or two.
Well, and cheers again to Woody Harrelson for finally opening up a dispensary. I feel like that's been kind of a long time coming as an advocate since, Jesus, the '80s. I mean, 70s. Like he's definitely been an advocate for as long as I can absolutely remember. And again, congratulations to you and Taylor and Jimmy for putting that all together. When you're looking at again, you're looking at things like Taylor. You mentioned the quote unquote hot bite, the 215 era. You know, ending up with a brownie that got you too ripped. When you're starting to see some of these, you know, older celebrities coming on, again, advocates for years, but now coming on and talking more about, you know, the totality of the entourage effect. Hey, I'm 55 plus. I'm using this for my own wellness. Do you think that that's helped driving, you know, 55 plus being the fastest growing demographic in cannabis?
Well, yeah, I do. Of course, you know, we needed to get rid of that stigma. Our family are middle-class liberal people, but they were shying away from cannabis, cops and lawyers and priests, because society hadn't said it was okay. And as we legalize it, and as we bring these influencers out to say what their personal experience is, we open it up more and more. And that's what we want to do. We want to have everybody in society feeling comfortable with it. And of course, these influencers go a long ways to that. So to see them coming out, is wonderful across the board, music, you know, film, television, authors. Look, you see them all over. Once we get senators and congressmen and the rest of them to come in, we're going to break those doors down and everybody will open it up. But I mean, you're opening up in Mississippi now. Every state in this country is really becoming organized and opening up to cannabis. So we've come a long ways, and we're going to break those walls down in the next couple of years completely.
Well, and when you're looking at, say, you know, the 2018 Farm Bill, and kind of how that's helped, but give a gateway with to put a bad pun on it, give a gateway to kind of more conservative states to, you know, again, their general culture and their general feeling when they see cannabis is, hey, I went through the DARE program, all drugs are bad. But now, you know, they can get CBD creams or they can get, you know, hemp shampoos and they don't think anything of it. And so being able to say, oh, well, maybe I'll try this for my aches and pains. Do you think that the 2018 Farm Bill is going to help finally give that push? Do you think that we finally hit that tipping point where enough states are going to legalize, again, especially some of these conservative states that legalized for adult use that kind of blow me away? Do you see this as the windfall moment?
Yeah, our friends that are building a $100 million facility in Mississippi, they're spearheading that effort, are on the Blue Ribbon panel in Indiana next week to talk about legalization and what that's going to look like. They're bringing in very, very high-end professional business people across the country now to really size this up and bring it in. Our only hope is that it doesn't further push away small farmers and legacy brands as we go legal, because it's going to go legal. There's nothing that's going to stop that. So as long as we can support and maintain some help for those people, then we're down for it. It's good for everybody.
Yeah. And it's so crazy to think about even the journey of how we've seen like these states come online in the last 2 years. I mean, that's what I just think about, where we're going to be in 2 years is just a really exciting sort of point, because I think that we're going to see some really big changes.
Well, being a native Indiana kid, having grown up there before moving to California almost 20 years ago, I would love to see Indiana finally legalized. I mean, the state's surrounded. You got Michigan with adult use above it. You got Illinois with adult use next to it, Ohio. Yeah, Indiana obviously is spending more money on policing at this point its borders than actually taking in tax revenue. So I would love to see Indiana finally legalize. All right. Well, looking forward to the Emerald Cup Awards, I know that this is your first kind of foray into Southern California. I also know that you guys did the Emerald Cup Harvest Ball. Is this going to be kind of the movement or kind of the operations moving forward as far as making Santa Rosa kind of more focused on, you know, the cannabis itself and then making Southern California kind of the awards or the consumer part of it? Or how is that going to be moving forward?
Of course, Northern California, that's, we put on that show for the latest flowers, genetics, people to come together, the culture, the celebration of the year's harvest. It's going to always be that farmer's market harvest ball celebration. LA is definitely the competition. It's the consumer market. It's bringing everybody together. It's bridging the North and the South and eventually the whole country and the whole world. So we're very excited to be moving into LA with that aspect of the show.
So interesting, because this opportunity of us doing this award show at the Montalban, we've been talking about how it's like, it's truly like kind of a dream come true in certain ways of just the caliber of the award show that we are about to be able to present to everybody. And so we were like, oh no, can we go back from this? Like, are we going to have to do, not have to, but are we going to like want to do a theater award show paired with the large consumer show, you know, moving forward? Are we going to bring it back into the consumer show piece for the award show? Still to be determined, but it is something that is so exciting in that way that it's like this little bit of change in a certain way is really exciting for all of us, because it truly is putting the Emerald Cup Awards into the showcase that they deserve to be in.
Oh, I definitely.
You'd be surprised, Nick. We've got people, excuse me, Nick, that are talking about tuxedos, how dressed up to get. All of our judges panels are like, how far are we going? Is it going to be green tuxes, green ties? Where are we going? And people are like, we're not wearing tuxes. We're not that. And listening to the debates between people, it's like, we can do tuxes. We don't need. And I'm like, you know, it's just exciting for our industry to look forward to getting dressed up and shining like the stars we are and having our moment in the spotlight. We're not hiding anywhere. We're right out in Maine, you know, Hollywood and Vine. We're right there. And, you know, we're bringing Woody and some of the LA's finest with us. We have some surprises for people, some special guests that Kat and Joey have brought in. So we're going to have some special musical guests, and the people that show up are going to be in for an incredible moment. Mm-hmm. Of course, you're on the list, Nick. I did get you on that list.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Hopefully, hopefully we'll be able to sample some of the competition's finest out there. Look forward definitely to seeing what you guys bring to Los Angeles. As a longtime fan of what you guys have been doing in Northern California, I'm happy to see you bring it to the southern tip of the state. And I look forward to seeing possibilities of you guys maybe taking this across the country, because I believe in my heart that the Emerald Cup is the gold standard for what cannabis competitions are. So thank you to Tim and Taylor. You guys are absolute legends in the industry.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you know what? We thank you. We really love what you're doing. We've always related. We've always had a synergy there. I did tell you I'd get some of those entries for you for the show, so I haven't forgotten that.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Tim, again, you and Taylor are absolute legacies in this industry. I love both of you dearly. Thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing you in the heart of Los Angeles in just a few short weeks.
I was going to say, see you in like 2 weeks.
We would like to thank both Tim and Taylor for their time and being on today's episode. You can find out more about the Emerald Cup by visiting them online at www.theemeraldcup.com. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll see you here on the next episode of Conversations in Cannabis.